One of the things I noticed this past spring, as many of you know, for the first time in years, we've had a garden at our house. As my son Jason helped me build a 10 by 10 raised bed for our garden, we planned out what we were going to plant in it, and we had some topsoil delivered to our home, and this topsoil we shoveled into the framework. I actually had delivered months ago, and it sat in the backyard and it got very hard. But we shoveled it into the framework, we stirred it up, we put some things in it to help it stay moist and loosened, and we planted our vegetables in it. And boy, what a harvest there's been from this prepared ground. Off to the side still laid what I did not use in the topsoil. And as the summer went on, though my 10 by 10 garden was weedless, the pile of topsoil was full of weeds that high that had grown up because I had not taken care of it, and it was not properly prepared. It did not produce any fruit out of it whatsoever. On the other hand, just a few feet away was the garden with the good soil that had produced, or has produced and is still producing, an abundant crop. Gardening in Jesus' day was a lot like this. It's not a surprise that Jesus would use examples about farming, because many of the communities he went into were farming communities. Though we know in a lot of them, there are people engaged in fishing for their income and to eat. Farming was something that most people could understand and they could connect with a little bit. So he used this particular way to teach the people as he was up in Galilee. Now, if you know anything from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew teaches about Jesus the King. The coming King, or the King that had come, was Jesus. He was the King that had been prophesied about in the Old Testament. And Matthew's Gospel gives us a testimony of that, first of all, by giving his genealogy all the way from Abraham up through the years, because the Messiah, this King, was supposed to be descended from David, and Jesus was. As Matthew's gospel unfolds, we start to learn about Jesus' teachings, and we start to learn how he went around teaching about the law and teaching amongst the religious leaders, and they rejected him. Okay? This was not the man who was prophesied, the coming King to set up his kingdom. In their minds, this was not Jesus. So they did not receive this truth that he was telling them. So he traveled up into the area of Galilee, to the north. And in this particular case, he went out in a boat, as the people were following him, spread on the shoreline to listen to what he was teaching. And he started teaching in parables to them. And he started out with the parable of the sower, talking about a farmer who went out to sow. And as he begins to teach, and one of the things I love about Jesus' teaching style, Jesus doesn't skirt around the issue, does he? He calls it like it is. He calls a spade a spade. In fact, he says, "I tell you the truth." And in this particular case, Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God, because that's what his teaching was about. Repenting, because the kingdom of God is near. And he begins to teach about those who are going to be in the kingdom of God. And shockingly, he's trying to tell the people that not everybody is going to be in the kingdom of God, that there are going to be those that are going to be excluded. And he's trying to get this across to the people. But he's rejected by so many people. So he tells this story. And he tells about those that are going to be in the kingdom of God. As the story goes along, it's not really about a farmer. It's about what happens as a result of the condition of the soil, and how the soil receives the word or the truth, the gospel. And a result of that, as Jesus explains, he says to the people, and what he's trying to get across to them is, as he begins this teaching, where would we have begun? So he starts with the people by saying, not everybody that hears what I'm going to say is going to believe it. And they're not going to receive it. Therefore, they are not going to be blessed. Okay? That's essentially what he's trying to tell the people here. And he uses the example of four different types of people, okay, comparing them to four different types of soils. He talks about the farmer going out to sow the seed. Some of the seed fell along the path. Some of it fell in rocky places. Some of it fell among thorns. And then some of it fell on good soil. He compares that with four types of people that hear the good news or the gospel. As he's sitting with the disciples, they ask why he teaches in parables, and it's because he wants everybody to understand what he's trying to teach. And he says, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth." In other words, he's saying to his friends, "You guys already understand this. You've already received it in faith. Prophets and righteous men long ago longed to see and hear what you have seen and heard. You're blessed because you've seen it, you've heard it, and you have received it." He says, listen to what I'm talking about, what the parable of the sower means. And he compares this to people. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. This is the person who is like the path. They hear the word. They're like the path. They do not understand. The Greek word or the Greek explanation of what that means is someone who doesn't put things together to get a full understanding. It would be like the person who comes to church this Sunday here, that Sunday there, maybe another Sunday or another Sunday, gets bits and pieces, but they don't fully understand what this is all about. This is the person who can't put it together because they haven't been prepared properly. The seed can't sink in because the soil hasn't been prepared. It takes time to prepare the soil to receive. It takes time after time of hearing it. The King James Version says the seed fell by the wayside on the path. You know, a path around a field, it can either be pounded down because of a lot of travel on it, or it can grow up with weeds. It can be weedy, but it's not a good place to sow seed. Generally, when we have our gardens or our fields, we have like a scarecrow or those tingly things to scare the birds away. So where are the birds? They're on the outskirts in the path, ready to pick up anything they can to survive. They're scoundrels and they're scavengers. And anything that falls on the path is superficial. It's on the surface. So he's saying this person who receives this word and doesn't put it all together, they're only receiving it superficially on the surface. It's not buried deep in the heart. And what they are hearing is snatched away by the evil one or Satan. That's so true. That if we just listen to the word or just read it and go over it, yeah, that's really great. I've done my devotions. I've been to church, heard the sermon, and we go home and it was just superficial. It never got into the heart. Satan's going to steal that away from you every time. I'll guarantee you sometimes it'll be before lunch on Sunday that's gone. Satan comes in with a problem, with an issue, with something that just to make you doubt, and all that you've heard is gone. It's irrelevant. Secondly, he says, the one who receives the seed that fell in rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since it has no root, he lasts only a short time, because when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Remember, Jesus talked about that seed. That seed fell on the rocky soil. And when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered because they didn't have any root and they died. Here Jesus said that's the person that falls away when there's trouble because they're not deeply rooted in the truth. The seed can't sink in because it's blocked. These are the stubborn people, the hard-hearted people with horrible, terrible theology. The people that get their theology from the television, from CNN and Fox News. The people that get their theology from reading the New York Sellers New York Times bestsellers list. And that's their theology. And they say, this isn't truth. This was written thousands of years ago by old men sitting around fires smoking wacky weed. They resist it. Their hearts are hardened. And because of that, they're shallow-rooted, and there's no spiritual growth. So when trouble comes their way, who do they have to turn to? CNN? Fox News? When trouble comes, they fall. You ever notice in a windstorm, the trees that fall down first are the ones that are shallow-rooted? plant is only as strong as its roots. Paul wrote to the Colossian believers about this. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith that you were taught. Rooted with the faith. Thirdly, in verse 22, he talks about the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns. That's the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it out, making it unfruitful. This is the person who's so caught up in the ways of the world that they're like crops in a field of weeds. The seed can't sink in because they don't want it to. It's blocked. It's blocked by everything else in their life. I know people that have filled their schedules so full purposefully so they have an excuse not to come to church or not to come to Bible study. They do it on purpose so they have an excuse. Do you think God accepts that kind of excuse? They're like people who are so caught up in their lives and the worries of this world. They're so worried about things that they can't relax long enough to consider trusting Jesus. And they've also been deceived into thinking that getting rich is what's important in life. They're preoccupied with that kind of thinking, that the world's more important than God, His Word, and receiving His Word. What are we going to do when we stand before the Almighty Creator and we know nothing about what He's told us in the 20, 30, 40, 50, 80, 90 years that we've lived? Right? These things in life keep some people from not only listening to, but from accepting the good news and what's really important. They're literally choked so that there's no way that they could taste or swallow the spiritual food that the gospel gives us. You know, a field of weeds doesn't produce enough food to feed anyone. For weeds. The weeds overcrowded, like the weeds in my dirt pile, overcrowded everything. So we have the person who's like the path. They don't really understand it because they haven't been properly prepared. We have the person whose heart is like the rocky place. The seed can't sink in because it's blocked by their hardened hearts and their terrible theology, and they have no root. The third is the person who is caught up in the ways of the world and literally choked out by the world's comings and goings and worries. But fourthly, he says there's one other person. And these are essentially the four types of people that exist in the world when it comes to teaching God's Word. The one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. Piece by piece, they put it together. One Sunday at a time. One question at a time. One devotion at a time. One page at a time. They read. They listen. They pray. They study. You know, a garden doesn't grow unless you work at it, right? You have to work at it. And as you do, you start to understand. And as you understand, it produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. That's the person who receives the message. And their heart is valuable because they receive it deep inside. You know, when farmers sow seed with their grain drills or their seeders for corn, they don't just lay the seed on top of the soil. They penetrate it down into the soil. And that's what we need to do with God's Word. Read it over and over and over. Penetrate it down into our hearts and our souls so that when the trials and troubles and tribulations of this world come and tries to burn them, so that when Satan comes into our lives and tries to steal it away, it's there and we can stand firm. Now I want you to notice something here. The only person that receives the blessing is the one who receives the seed, the message, deep. And Jesus doesn't say that it means instantaneous blessing. He doesn't say that life will be easy. You know, I used to sow seeds and grow shrubbery from seedlings years ago. And some of the seeds had to be sown in the soil. They had to go through one winter of freezing and thawing, a whole summer, then another winter of freezing and thawing before they would actually sprout. It's called stratification. Breaking the outer hard core so that the inner seed can sprout. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take stratification. It's going to take time. It's going to take cultivation. It's going to take irrigation. And we take our time while God does that. And that happens by receiving the Word. We don't fully understand it sometimes. They didn't fully understand it, but they still accepted it in faith. When a farmer sows the seed, it's done in faith. There's no guarantee that soil is going to bear fruit. Absolutely none. But in faith, we sow, and in faith, the seed sprouts. As God works in our lives to cultivate us, to water us, to break down our hardness, we receive in faith the Word, we open our heart, we piece together the truths in God's Word, and we wait for the fruit to be produced, and it will be. It will be. It took probably 40 years. 40 years of my life before I finally said, it's time. And God sprung forth fruit. Jesus is saying that not all who hear His message will receive it and experience blessing. Some will never be prepared. Some will block it because of the hardness of their heart. Some will be so busy with the world's ways that they'll not have the time nor the faith to receive it. But to those who receive it and work at it, there will be blessings in this life and in the life to come. And they are a crop that produces 160 or 30 times what was sown. What's Jesus trying to say in all this? He's trying to say that it's very important to receive the word of truth and faith, to bury it deep inside here, because this is the fertile soil where the seed can sprout. To not just let it go in one ear and out the other and be superficial. To not resist it and say, I don't believe it, but to accept it in faith. And when we do, we will see blessings beyond what we can ever imagine. Let's pray. Dear God, our Savior and our Redeemer, as Jesus continues to teach us, I pray today that we carry what we've learned about the importance of burying the Word deep in our hearts and our souls, because there the fruit is produced in abundance, and we'll know true blessing by accepting it as our lives. I pray that we do that today, Lord. I pray that we remember the importance of this, so much so that we're more fervent about opening our Bibles this week and reading Your Word. We're more committed to praying to You. We're more committed to coming to church and hearing what You have to teach us. And we do it in thanksgiving to You, in Jesus' name. Amen. And let us stand together as we close praising God with number 527.